Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover every day on the television side of WGN, over here to our radio side to talk about a true passion, theater and the arts. Arguably, maybe politics crosses into this one just a bit because of the nature of what this show is about. I think that's a fair thing to say. We're going to be talking about The Prom. It is fabulous musical. I've seen it on Broadway. I've seen it here. It's just such a great show. And it's being put on by the Highland Park Players, who's done such crazy great things in the past, including the recent Kinky Boots. One of our stars was in that show. So it's kind of like bringing two old friends back together. But let me introduce you. I'm going to start with the director of the show, if I may. And Lauren Katz, who's with us, who's directing the show. You are Chicago-based. You're a teacher. You do all sorts of good stuff. But your credits, Lauren, I mean, they're amazing because it's not just about Highland Park Players. You've worked with Writers Theater, Goodman, About Face, just so many fantastic. Steppenwolf, I mean, you've worked with all the greats, and that's fantastic, which means everybody's lucky to have you directing this one. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. And joining us, the stars of the show, some of them anyway. I'm going to start with you, Christine, because your character, Dee Dee, which is just such a great role in this show. And yeah, I mean, oh, it was a movie, too, right? So people who haven't seen the musical, go see the movie. Your character is just so phenomenal. And so lucky you get to see to play her. So Christine Benninger joins us. She plays the role of Dee Dee. But you've done, man, your career has taken you. I mean, you've done Ava Perone and Reno Sweeney. You've like had all the big hits.
I have been very, very lucky, and I continue to be with this role.
Very much so. But have you ever played Golda, where I could be Tevye and we can put on the Fiddler on the Roof approach?
Sign me up.
All right. Lauren, you're going to direct us.
I look forward to it.
All right. Also joining us, I'm getting to you, Hannah, where is Robin Trevino, who play. I love this role, too. I mean, ever since the first saw, this is like this character that reaches out to you. In fact, the actor who played it recently in Chicago, we met afterwards just to bring him out. People have to remember that you are actually Robin Trevino, not necessarily Barry Glickman, but we'll learn about Barry to find out how much crossover there is between reality and this character. But also, Robin, it too, it's just you have to have a ton of fun playing this role.
Oh yeah, it's a dream role. It's been a dream role of mine since I first saw the movie, actually, and I fell in love with it, and I'm like, I'm going to play that part someday.
So, by the way, so was your first introduction to The Prom was the film, not the musical on Broadway or off Broadway?
Yeah, it was. I hadn't even, you know, I'm not huge in the musical theater scene. I mostly do I did comedy for a long time. I did.
Yeah, but you understudied in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? You got some dramatic chops in there.
I did. I kind of left comedy in 2020. I was with a company called Gayco for 14 years, which was sketch comedy and improv. And then I decided to sort of leave that scene and go back to sort of the straight theater world, the storefronts and stuff like that. And right away I got into Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and I understudied George in 2022.
That was such a great, Invictus does some amazing things. Interview with their artistic director, Charles, will be, we've done it. It'll be coming up soon. So keep an eye out for that. And my old friend Hannah Kipp is back. And you were one of the stars of Kinky Boots, but you just have this tie to Highland Park Players that keeps you back in these great roles. This time around, you're playing Emma Nolan. So I've come to you last because you are critical in this story. And I thought I would ask you to tell us, for those who don't know, what The Prom is all about, because it kind of revolves around your character.
Yes. Okay, without giving away too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to give any secrets. I let you all talk about that, because I always tell this story. I once interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, and I said, anything I shouldn't say? And they said, well, don't say that Connor is dead. I'm like, he dies in the first 2 seconds of the music. Why is this a shock? But anyway, I've learned that people see different surprises differently. So, Hannah, you decide what we can learn.
Okay. Emma is a high schooler in Edgewater, Indiana, who wants to take her girlfriend to the prom. The town decides that they do not want a lesbian couple coming to their prom, and so they cancel the prom. This kind of goes viral on the internet. They start to think, do we take action? What do we do? Meanwhile, back in New York, there are four Broadway actors who are looking to get some good press, and they find this trending on Twitter and decide to take action and go down and help out.
And I'm going to come to them because I want to find a little bit more. That is just, it's almost like an A plot, B plot. It's not, but just the way these worlds come together. But one of the things you just said is really interesting. Lauren, I'm going to come to you for this because one of the things Hannah said was, well, there's this, woman, she wants to take her girlfriend to the prom. And I love the fact that Hannah says that, like, well, yeah, I mean, it's Tuesday, I mean, what's the big deal? And yet when you think about the world, this is a true story, by the way, it's based on a true story. So when you think about the world in which we live, it just goes to show that this is a play that and a musical that has to address so much bigotry in the world. It's still real. How much does making a difference in terms of societal norms and such, how does that impact you as a director when you approach this?
That's a great question. I think this play, unfortunately, is inc it continues to be incredibly relevant because there are still so many societies that would respond in a similar way. But something that we continue to talk about in the room is that this play really is about someone who's just wanting to be heard and seen by her loved ones. And that is something that I think anyone can relate to, no matter who you are, no matter what the story might be. We just want to be seen. And that at the heart of it is something that I think will always be relevant because that's all any of us really want.
I think it's so important. Goodman just opened up Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil and stuff. And in there, you have certain characters who, again, years ago, or even in the time that drama takes place, were not accepted and stuff. I know there's still issues today, but it's nice to see sort of when you look today, there's so much more of a, oh, it's just the way it is. And so when we meet Barry Glickman and friends, and I'll come to you for this, Robin, Barry, of course, gets this idea. You come across this and you decide we need to do something about this.
Yes, exactly. Mine and Dee Dee's characters, we just opened a show on Broadway that did not do too well. And we're sort of looking for a cause, looking for something to raise our spirits as well as our reputation with our fans and our people, the people that follow us. And so, we see this injustice happening in Indiana, and we're like, hey, let's go help them, and maybe by helping them, help ourselves.
And Christine, your character of Dee Dee, and the reason I kind of opened up by talking about just some of the roles you've had is because you have this history of playing what I'll call larger than life characters. I mean, you see some of these characters you play, and they're just wow. And so in this show, maybe Dee Dee is not Eva Perón or anything like that, but the truth is there is such a presence that this character has when interacting with her friends, and so much of it is because sort of her view of life, the way I see it, which is just the humor that this stuff comes. So talk to me about Dee Dee and the role she plays, because I don't know if Dee Dee's really driven initially by let's go help these young people in Indiana.
Well, not to give anything away, but she's not, unfortunately. She's kind of in it for herself. And she's used to the star treatment. She's used to people kowtowing to her. She is larger than life. She walks into a room and expects to completely command it. And I think she usually does. But she's forced into a situation where she does really need to take a step back and see what it's like to not be in that position. And that's a lesson for some of us as well. I think it's always good to self-reflect and maybe do some work on one's faults and flaws. And I think Dee Dee is definitely, though she's larger than life, she's also very, very flawed. So she's very interesting, I think, to play.
And
But
one of the things that's nice, again, I continue not to try and give anything away, but it's not as though any of these characters, they may be flawed in terms of wanting to, they care about their own careers and then whatever. They're not driven by, I mean, it's not when certain things come out in the show that all of a sudden there's this notion of prejudice. I mean, that's not what triggers any of them. These are Broadway stars. These are people who are surrounded by all sorts of people. And that's sort of a healthy thing to see. Hannah, let me come back to you in your role because here you are playing this, young high school student in Indiana, and enter the whole Broadway scene. For those of us watching the show, we love it, we get it. But from your character's perspective, you've got to have this, what the heck is going on here?
yeah, it's definitely something she's never seen. I don't imagine Emma's even too familiar with the musical theater world. So
having these people come in who's they come in assuming that everyone will know who they are, and no one does, including Emma. But I think she sees the confidence that they have in who they are. And one of the first things Barry says to her, I think, really is like, oh, he knows who he is and he can live out loud. And Emma wants that for herself. She's trying to find it.
And by the way, the conflicts we see with Emma and Chloe Hayes plays Alyssa, for example, and these other people. But you've got I think he's the superintendent, right? Who's the school teacher superintendent. I'm actually forgetting on that one. But you've got all sorts of people who you have to deal, your character has to deal with in terms of family, in terms of school. That's the life of an Indiana teenager.
Right. Yeah, our principal is, I would say, more on her side than anyone else in the community, helping her navigate this. But there's a lot of loneliness. There isn't a lot of support from anyone else in her community. Lost communication with her parents, is living with her grandma.
Yeah.
So to even have four new friends to come into her life is really exciting.
Lauren, what kind of prep goes into, look, you've directed Tick, Tick, Boom and Grease and Legally Blonde, just such great shows. And this ranks right up there with them. I mean, this is just, you know, I wouldn't say those titles and not say this title with them. They're all great. But what is this the kind of flavor that you like in terms of the projects that you take on and directing? What are the challenges of doing something like this?
I tend to be drawn to human stories. The Prom is a larger than life kind of musical, especially once the Broadway stars come in. There are these incredibly jumpy is the best word I can use to describe it, but there are these really fun numbers and they really just invite you to dance. But what really drew me to The Prom was this conflict at the middle with Emma, wanting to be in a relationship with her girlfriend and just can't because of everything standing in the way. And that, no matter how big the show is, whether it's a play or a musical, tends to be the kind of story that I'm really drawn to, a story that is very human, where we're just trying to be and have to figure it out, because that's what all of us are really trying to do.
Was part of your prep, or maybe did you ask the cast to sort of look, because this is based on a true story, was there any homework being done to say, let's find out what happened back then? Or did it not matter because the show was the show?
I've definitely looked a lot into that because I'm always curious when it comes to working with my cast. I encourage them to do a deep dive into the character and whatever they need to really bring that character to life. That can be the history. It doesn't have to be. I tend to let them lead that process and I can meet them there and help them craft it.
Oh, that sends me back to Hannah. So Hannah, because you truly are, you know, playing the real life person here. Did you take on the homework assignment, or did you say, nah, this is going to be about Hannah playing this role?
Yeah, definitely. Constance McMillan is who Emma is based on. This happened in 2010. So if we think back to before gay marriage was legal in our country, it's what the story is based on. So she just wanted to take her girlfriend to prom and wear a tux, and her school shut it down. So that took on, I mean, a lot of big celebrities then came into the picture. So I think that's where we get our Broadway stars influence. But yeah, definitely looked into it. It's an incredible story.
And Christine, let me ask you, as you go from, as your character goes from Broadway into this Indiana town, sort of culture shock for her. Where are we? What is this all about and stuff? So again, as going back to you as somebody who does play these sort of, you know, very grand roles and stuff, how did you make that transition? Or was it just all you had to do was play the shock piece of it?
It's really all there. The script for the show is really fantastic. You know, a lot of times with musicals, you don't really look at the book. You just wait for the next song to come along. But with this show, the book is written really well. And it really provides everything that I need to make that transition and show that shock and just show that she's a complete fish out of water at that point.
And, you know, Robin, in playing Barry, that's one character that I just think there's a connection between the audience. Maybe because Dee Dee is such a grand character that people in the audience don't necessarily, they don't identify with her in terms of seeing themselves that way. But I think there's a lot of people who might look at Barry and say, I'm him. I get that. Do you sense that? Is there any kind of, I don't know, the word responsibility is in my head, but there's a sense that you have that there may be people in the audience who are really connecting to who Barry is and what he overcomes within the course of the show, because he goes through some metamorphosis.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just and his connection with Emma is something that's interesting as well, because, I being myself, I grew up in Michigan in a small town as a gay teenager. And so there's also sort of a generational divide. But I think a lot of people from my generation who grew up gay, we have a certain mindset of what bigotry looks like, what discrimination looks like, and in a way that we handled that. Like in the 90s, which is when I was a teenager. And then we sort of bring that perspective to Emma's story, to basically today's youth, and realize that they have sort of a better handle on things now, that sort of the progress we made is sort of subtly implemented into this generation's story when it comes to expressing themselves and finding their truth.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder when you go see a play today, Lauren, like Angels in America or or The Normal Heart, whether there's an audience member, you sit there and there are people who say, well, we're as a society, maybe we're beyond all of that. Of course, there's historical portrayals going on. I don't mean to get into all of that, but I come to you as a director. Are you also serving as the dramaturg in this show, or is there one?
There isn't a dramaturg. I do a lot of that work just
Okay.
as a director.
Okay.
So that would be me.
There's a great line, by the way. I don't know if you saw Thanksgiving play. I'm just never going to forget this. It's Steppenwolf. Anybody saw that? And there's a great line about saying, I've always wanted to be a dramaturg. And somebody goes, what is that? He goes, nobody knows. But anyway, but in talking to you, so again, you're dealing with something that is set as a, in a period of time with people in the audience who sort of maybe beyond some of the prejudice that exists there. But is it important that we get reminded? Is it important that we, understand what history was? And again, if we were putting on this play in certain small towns around this country, we ain't exactly ahead of it in a lot of places in this country.
I mean, I think we're not beyond it is the thing. Even performing this show in Chicago, as Robin was saying, there's so many folks who will identify with all of these characters, whether that be Barry or Emma, and maybe they're thinking back to years before, or maybe they're thinking back to today, or last week. But I tend to think with theater that really you put a story out there and it's up to the audience how they determine how they decide to interact with it. But a story like this, there's so much heart. I think that whether you're connecting to the political side of it or the romantic side, there's going to be something for everybody and a reason for them to reflect.
Hannah, I mean, because you did Kinky Boots, and that too has, is a show that reaches out, with all sorts of conflicts and issues that are going on, and among the characters in that role. I came backstage and visited with you all before one night because I also own one of the Kinky Boots from Kinky Boots, and so we had that on display for the run of the show. It was signed by, oh, it's actually a quick story you didn't know. It was signed by the cast, but it hadn't been signed by Jerry Mitchell, who directed and choreographed the show and all that. So I saw Jerry when he was here for Boop, showed him that boot, and he goes, oh yeah, they did that for charity. I went, but your name is not. And he goes, yeah, I didn't want to sign it. But he looked at me and went, I'll sign yours. So you had it there with Jerry's signature on there. But anyway, Hannah, so what kind of interaction when you meet with audiences afterwards, because you guys all come out into the lobby and you sort of meet with people because we're in the suburb. I grew up in Skokie, so we're in the suburbs, and you sometimes can attract a I'll just call it an older crowd maybe than others and stuff. What kind of, I mean, but when Highland Park does its show, Highland Park Players, they're really often there is a message to the work that they do. So I'm sort of curious as to what you hear from audiences as you come out in the lobby and meet them.
Yeah, I think we there's such a mixture of it's always interesting when you come out and hear little snippets of conversations. But I think one of the most powerful things that happened during Kinky Boots, there's this darling photo of Ananiah who played Lola, with an older woman who's like just really small, and Ananiah's in their heels. And I think the woman said that she had come multiple times to the show, and it's just the sweetest photo of the two of them. So that's just what came to mind. But yeah, it opens up a dialogue and it gives you maybe you go see the show with someone that you haven't had those sort of conversations with. And then on the walk to the car, now we're opening this up and bringing it into other conversations as well.
Yeah. Christine, talk to me too about, I mean, doing a show like this compared to some of the other things you've done at a lot of the theaters around town, but and around, the suburbs and various places that you performed. But then you come into a show like this with a powerful message. Does it, how do you approach the role? I mean, because this character is sort of, she's funny. But again, she's probably not your character. She's not who you are in real life. So how do you sort of reach out and say, I've got to play this person who clearly is not me? Well, and I say that because Robin, I think Robin in his comments has already found ties between Barry and who he is. So there's a connection that Robin takes into the real world. I'm thinking that for your character, maybe not so much.
No, it's hard. And as I go through some of the scenes, I think I told Robin the other day after a rehearsal that it was really hard not to fasten onto his emotion that he has in the scene, because it's not what Dee Dee's experiencing in the scene, but it's what Christine is feeling from Robin's performance. And so I do have to kind of swallow that down and find, I don't agree with everything she's doing in the show, but not to give anything away, she does come around by the end. But
you're all being very good at not giving. I mean, you're not giving things away. I can tell you that. You're being very careful.
Yeah, I just have to find what I have to figure out where she's coming from and what she's experienced. And I think she's probably always lived in a world where everybody is accepted. I mean, if she's in the theatrical world, that's usually the case. So she doesn't necessarily see the root of the issue, and she's not used to putting others before herself. And so just trying to put her in context is important and say, you know, this is not the world she's lived in. She's a fish out of water. She's really got to take a huge step back and look at the situation and look at what she's doing and how she responds and make some changes and really think outside her comfort zone. But it takes her a while to get there. So
are there any role models meaning like stars who play? When I think of that character, I see a little bit of, you can argue that it's a bit of Gloria Swanson. You can argue that it's a little bit of Elaine Stritch. I mean, there's just different people that you can see playing there. Is there anybody you look at and say, this is who it is for me? Somebody real?
Well, my biggest, I would say idol theatrically is Patti LuPone. Oh. And so I see a lot of Patti LuPone in her, a lot of her temperament, a lot of her mentality. I reach into that, and I know I've seen a million interviews with Patti LuPone where the human side of her comes out. And so, you know, even talking about it now, I want to go back to some of those and see that and really use that a little more to help me get into character and help me kind of divorce myself from the emotion behind what's going on. Because
actually, that I should have said Patti LuPone, because you're actually right on with that. I think that's exactly right. Robin, what about for Barry? Who do you see? Of course, in the movie, he's played by James Corden. So James Corden is everywhere now. Cats, you know. But what is there somebody, you know, real world that you look at and say, yeah, this is kind of a role model for me for this role?
Gosh, for me, it's not necessarily any performers. I feel like Barry sort of encompasses so many adult gay men that I've met since joining the community. You can see their history, you can see their humor that they use to cover their vulnerabilities. It's indicative of people who grew up, you know, in the 90s and 80s. It's sort of just an amalgam of all of the older gay men who are very funny and very entertaining to be around, very charming men that I have met in my life.
Quick story to make Christine and Robin a little jealous. Years ago, I was in a little piano bar in Paris, and I was about to leave, and the owner looked at me and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, I'm just going to leave. I'm going back to my hotel." He goes, "I want you to wait." So I did, and in came Patti LuPone, who had just flown in from London, where she was doing, I think it was Evita at that time, I'm pretty sure. So she flew in from London, and downstairs, little gay piano bar, and we're downstairs, and it was smoky at that time, and it was horrible. She's saying, "Don't cry for me, Argentina," 6 feet away from me.
Oh.
And since a friend of mine, Greg Edelman, had actually been in Evita with her, so we had that tie. And Robin, I got to kiss Patti LuPone.
That's awesome.
Just a little story to toss out your way.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and she was really very nice. Anyway, Lauren, so when you put this together, when you get your cast together and everybody gets cast, you're playing a role, obviously, in casting. What were you looking for? There needs to be a certain blending, certainly among the New York group. And then there's a very different flavor in the Indiana group. And yet all these people auditioning from the same place. I mean, right? We're all from the same place. So what's in your mind going both the casting and the initiation process or whatever, orientation process, as you're getting people to understand you are New York people, you are Indiana, you're going to meet, because we have to read that. Now, this show hasn't opened yet as we're talking, so I know I'm going to read it when I see the show, and I'll say it again too, but it runs from August 15th through the 25th. Short run in Highland Park, players. But when you bring everybody together, how do you do that? How do you create a sense of Indiana versus New York, and especially deal with the challenge when they meet?
Yeah. I mean, I was saying earlier that I'm really drawn to human stories and things that are relatable. And even when I stage a musical, I'm really interested in the grounded story that we can all relate to. The larger than life gets there, without question, especially on a show like this. And so I have no doubt that the actors will be able to play the larger than life Broadway performers like Dee Dee and Barry.
It also means, by the way, we get grand costumes, right?
Oh, yes. And the costumes are incredible. Everything is going to look great. But I mean, these three that I'm looking at on my Zoom screen, all of them showed this really deep, beautiful connection to the character that made me feel for them. And that is what I was really excited to build on, a story that's so much about heart. And you'll see that in the cast across the board. Everyone found that really deep connection that I think is going to make this a really heartfelt story.
I can't wait for that. Robin, there's such a distinction and difference between playing George in Virginia Woolf and this role here. I mean, do you look at do you say to yourself, I'm Barry? Or do you say, no, I'm George? I mean, who are you?
I'm both. That's the thing. That's why it's been such a really interesting experience the last few years, because I love playing those dark, weird characters like George that get really just go to a really weird, dark place. But I love the fun of Barry, and I love getting to play and be silly and be over the top and then also be heartfelt. Make him laugh and make him cry. That's my sweet spot as an actor. I love to make him laugh and make him cry.
And Hannah, in this theater, it's at the McGrath Family Performing Arts Center in Wilmette. It's not an intimate space, but it's not a huge space. I'm sort of curious, as you connect with audience members, do you prefer sort of, when I say intimate space, I'm thinking of Robin Invictus, you know, or something like that. That's what I mean by an intimate space. I mean, or Theo Ubuke, you know, just these places that are truly, you're half in the show and you're half in the audience. But here, of course, you get more space than that. What do you prefer, Hannah? I mean, especially coming off Kinky Boots, also a big grand production.
I think it depends on the show. I think certain shows go well with certain spaces, and Prom is, this is the perfect space for that. There's something truly magical about looking out into a space that has a balcony. And for those big numbers, I think the space is just absolutely perfect. But then there are shows that I think do better in a black box or in a thrust space. So
yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Do you mind being, I mean, if you are in that a black box space or something, do you sort of like the intimacy? I mean, so I've talked to some actors who are like, I have to get used to being so close to audience members. It's strange for me initially.
Yeah. I did Spring Awakening in a black box, a very small black box. And that is a show where I'm sure the audience would have liked some distance from us. But it was powerful to be right in their spaces with a story like that.
Yeah. So, and Lauren, how does it impact you, the space that you're in? Because obviously you'll go into that space before you do your thing. How does it impact you in terms of how you want to direct this show? Because they got to hear you in the back.
They definitely do. And it's funny because I'm definitely a lot more used to the small intimate spaces. I direct a lot of storefront. But there's something really exciting about filling the space and like reaching the back row and creating that magic that Hannah is talking about. I think that the Prom inherently does that. The numbers are just so fun. And even the smaller intimate numbers, I mean, there's so much going on there that it's impossible not to reach the back.
The music here, I'm glad you just mentioned the music. I want to bring that up, and I'm going to come to Christine and Robin for this, because I mean, just, and Hannah, obviously you all get numbers, but the fun stuff that the New York crew gets to sing is just so great. What is your thought, Christine, about just the music of this show? You played a lot. Listen, you've done some classic music stuff, Tim Rice and, you know, on and on. So, this is a little lighter, a little more fun maybe than some of the music in those shows.
This is a return for me to what I feel best in and what I love to do, which is big, brassy, Ethel Merman-y type kind of comedy, which I actually haven't gotten to do in a while. Mm-hmm. So it, I love it. This is where I live. I don't know how to do all this modern riffing and stuff like that, but this definitely hits where what I can do. And so the music is beyond fun to sing. I remember when I first heard it and I said, wow, that's a bucket list.
Are you saying we're not going to see you as a Skylar sister coming up anytime soon?
Probably not. No, I think that's safe.
I don't know. Lauren thinks you can do it. I think you're going to take these challenges.
And Christine can do anything.
I know. I mean, it's pretty clear. And Robin, how about you? Because again, for you, the connection between the music and Barry, I mean, for him, my view, you always disagree with me. I don't care what I'm saying. You can disagree. But I also see part of his metamorphosis in this show tied to the songs and the music he's singing. You see that happen, especially when he's singing with Emma, the music is critical for your character.
Oh, yeah. And it's so fun. It's sort of a return to the musical theater that I fell in love with as a teenager. It's all very fun and clips along. And, you know, I don't mind sort of the change in musical theater to become more modern and R&B. I love all of that, too. But this type of music is the music that I was like belting in my room when I was, you know, 16 years old and my family was like, shut up. But I love this, the whole style of it, the whole feel of the music. And Ken Pruce is our music director. He even described like our opening number. He's like singing it like you're hosting the Tonys, like you're introing the Tonys. That's what it feels like. And I'm like, oh, yes, I connect with that. That's how I want to perform it.
Yeah, well, Lauren, I got to come back to you because that's interesting. So if you're having the musical director sort of say, I want you to do this, you're the director of the show. Have you, ahead of time, talked to these other players to say, this is what we need to be? Or would you ever sit and listen, well, no, I don't want you to pretend you're hosting the Tonys. As a director, you have final call in these things, I would assume.
You know, I tend to be a really collaborative director. And that is something that I told Ken and Dominique. Dominique is our incredible choreographer. Both of them are phenomenal. And we've talked a lot about the show. It's clear we're on the same page. But they also definitely have artistic ownership over this thing, as do all the actors. So I fully trust Ken. And also, I agree. Sing it like you're hosting the Tonys. That's totally fine.
I love it. Hannah, are you also singing like you're hosting the Tonys? Because Emma's songs are a bit different.
Emma's songs are a bit different. I do get to spend a lot of the show sitting, listening to the New Yorkers sing to me. So that is absolutely delightful. Right. I'm fighting the urge to groove along. But yeah, it's a nice contrast and it's so beautifully written that Emma's songs are more like sitting with a guitar, singer-songwriting versus the opening to the Tonys. So you get a lot of flavor in this one.
Yeah. Had you worked with Chloe Hayes before who plays Alyssa?
I have not, but I'm so excited to.
Yeah, so I'm sort of curious because we have to see relationship there and warmth. I'm sort of curious, is there, you know, how I don't know how Stanislavski and you are, but do you sort of like, look, let's go for pizza. We need to get to know each other. I mean, you know, I'm trying to draw a line between this has to be the real friendship versus, oh, we're just playing a relationship on stage. So how do you approach that?
Yeah, I think what's great is Highland Park just creates this space of friendship with your castmates. It's such a safe environment. Like Ben, who played Charlie in Kinky Boots, is now one of my very close friends. So I think because that environment is fostered through Highland Park Players, I'm absolutely going to leave the show best friends with Chloe.
I always tend to like when he posts a picture on Instagram of his dog. I'm the first to just like click the like button. Post a dog on YouTube.
Lauren is getting an intimacy coordinator to come in for Chloe and I as well. So that will help with the comfortability and forming that relationship.
Okay. Let me ask you, that's really important. And I mean, a lot of shows have the intimacy coordinators that talk about the importance of that role. That says to me, you are concerned that relationship be read as valid.
I'm less concerned with it being read as valid. The relationship will come across no matter what. But what's always the priority for me is the safety and comfort of the actors. Because I don't want them to go up on stage and act out this relationship with all the highs and lows and get hurt by it. I want it to be sustainable and I prioritize their safety in that. So Sydney Cox, one of the best I've worked with as far as intimacy directors go, she'll be coming in and helping them build that container of the relationship to make sure that the show feels safe so they can explore the relationship in a way that feels right to them.
But and my memory, having seen the show several times, and maybe I'm wrong, I mean, people who are watching us right now are listening, and we use the word intimacy. I mean, we're not there. There are no this. There is nothing inappropriate in this show. There's nothing that crosses any lines in the show. So that's why I say, so when you say that, it's not as though you have to get like we're in a movie where you have certain scenes. You need the intimacy person there to say, here's how we're going to do that. But no, this is just a warmth between these characters.
It's love, and it's a first love. And I think that there are a few things that are more intense than that. And so you're totally right. There's nothing inappropriate. But I think that something that I'm starting to see more and more, I definitely see it here at work. I work at a theater full time, mm-hmm. is that intimacy coordinators are brought in to just make sure the relationship, when an actor puts themselves in that, they're feeling like they can feel it as much as they can. But honestly, the less physically intimate a show is and the more emotionally intimate, that tends to get a little less safe for actors because it's just they put themselves in it and don't realize how far they go. So I just like to create that environment to make sure that they feel good.
Looks like Hannah and Christine and Robin, you guys are in good hands with this director.
Absolutely.
Indeed, we are.
Yeah. Yeah, good and safe hands. Well, I want to encourage everybody to check out The Prom. Really one of my favorite. I got so excited when I saw that Highland Park Players was putting this on. Yet it only runs from August 15th through the 25th. So you got to get your tickets quickly at highlandparkplayers.org. It's so good. I can't wait to come see it. And I'll be there. I'll be the guy probably down front yelling at you or something. I don't know. But anyway, thanks for being with me. Break legs, everybody. And you're part of just a wonderful show with a great director. Look forward to it. Break legs. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, everybody. Appreciate it. We'll get you a link when we launch this, which will be soon.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you
so much. See you in the theater.